Today, specifically, we are talking about making healthier churches financially. Now, we talked about a few different things, and we're kind of ending with this one. We can make healthier churches financially, first of all, by having a healthy financial plan. Now, we're going to be talking about church in general, but this works individually as well, okay? So you can get something from this as we go. Proverbs 23:5, in the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. You see, just like an individual needs a plan, if you don't have a plan, if the church doesn't have a financial plan, money will just disappear. You will say, where did it go? What happened to it? But a plan, when the end of the month comes, you know where it went. And you're like, I know exactly where it went because we planned where it would go. The church needs that as well. Listen to Isaiah 32 and verse 8. It says, he who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands. Okay, this is important. This scripture, first of all, what does noble mean in this context? Noble means very good or excellent, grand or impressive. Very good, excellent, grand, or impressive. So what it's saying is the person who is noble plans noble things and then stands in them. Okay, let me give you an example. Think about the places you've been. Have you ever been to an absolutely amazing, magnificent building? And you were like, whoa. Did you know that didn't just get there? Somebody planned it. They planned it, they planned what was needed to make it happen, and now they stand in it. If you've ever seen in a business that is impressive, somebody planned that. They planned it, and they went forward until they stood in it. No different for a church. If a church doesn't plan forward, they don't go forward. If you plan for nothing, you'll stand in nothing. If you plan for cheap and stingy, you will stand in cheap and stingy. If you plan for broken and barely getting by, you'll stand in broken and barely getting by. This is a key principle in Scripture. What you plan for is what you will end up in. So what are you planning for? I want to make this individual and church. What are you planning for? Can you only visualize just paying your bill at the end of the month and that's all you can plan for? Then that's what it will be month after month after year after year after year. Get a vision, then get a plan to see it happen. Our church, of course, does have a vision and we do plan. Our pastors right now, we're in prayer about the future for church. What is this going to look like? Where are we headed? How will this go? Because without a vision, you can't plan. Now, we have a vision and a mission of we are here and exist to help people find and follow Jesus, but there are also specifics that have to be planned. You see, a plan matters, and not just any plan, but I believe a plan that is magnificent because that's the kind of God we serve. You see, when they built the temple in the Old Testament, there was a plan. Did you know God gave the plan? And then they followed the plan. The temple wasn't cheap. The temple wasn't stingy. Well, we don't want to waste anything, and, you know, I just want to keep a huge bank account. That's, you know, so God said, just do whatever. No. He said, make it grand. You know, build these bowls and then cover them in gold. Build this altar and make golden cherubs. Build this candlestick and cover it in gold. Beat it. Mold it. So, what is the plan? You see, a healthy financial plan will take you where you need to go. No plan, no go. I don't know if that's proper English. No plan, no go. Okay. Do you have a plan for your life? Do you have a plan for your family? Do you have a plan for your business? You see, just putting out fires and dealing with what hits you every day is not a plan. It has to happen, but that's not a plan. You see, in church, as pastors, we can get tied up with day-to-day putting out fires, you know, just doing what comes at us, but we also have to be in prayer and planning. If we don't, we'll just be really good at putting out fires. So church, there is a great plan. Now, I got to say this right from the beginning of this message so that, you know, nobody's worried. I'm not preaching this message to take up a big offering. Not at all. There isn't a great big building project, and I'm going to spring it on you at the end and pull you. That's not what this is about. Okay? I want you to see the truth of what God says about financially being healthy as a church, and of course, these apply individually as well. You see, a healthy financial plan or system has accountability and works for the size of the church. Accountability is always important, even in your own financial plan. Often a plan without accountability is just something written on paper that never gets followed. But accountability helps us to follow that plan. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 19, it says, he was appointed by the churches to accompany us as we take the offering to Jerusalem, a service that glorifies the Lord and shows our eagerness to help. We are traveling together to guard against any criticism for the way we are handling the generous gift. We are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone else to see that we are honorable. Accountability. They were taking an offering from one place over to Jerusalem. They made sure there was more than one person, and there was accountability in how they looked after it. They wanted to be honorable before the Lord and other people. Do you know in church, we have accountability. It's why not just one person counts the offering. It's why more than one person is able to be on the accounts, the emails, the bank accounts. It's accountability. Okay? It matters to the Lord. Luke 16:10. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Okay, guys, this is so important for how God blesses. There's another scripture where God told them, you are faithful in little, I'm going to give you much. If you want to be blessed with much, you have to be faithful in the little first. You have to have integrity. If you're just dreaming for, oh man, I want God to just pour out, do abundance, well, are you being faithful with the little that he's given you already? Integrity in church matters. You're faithful in the little, he'll give you much. If you can't be faithful in that, you won't be faithful in more because more is more tempting. I want to encourage you, practice integrity and watch God pour out more. God wants to bless you, and it begins with you being faithful in the little. I got good news. If you struggled in the past, you ask him to forgive you, and you ask him to help you have a high standard of integrity. And he will, and you'll see great things begin to happen. Proverbs 15:22, without consultation and wise advice, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they are established and succeed. You see, we need to ask sometimes other people that have more wisdom than us for advice. For a church to be healthy financially, there are seasons of change. A small church has a system of finance that works, but as it grows, it needs to be adjusted and changed. And we need to ask people who know more than us. So we want our church to be healthy. That's the same for you. If you have a business, you know, you can work just running that out of your own checking account for a while, but eventually the system has to grow with the business. So having wise people that you can bring in makes a huge difference. And yes, as a church, we ask people for wisdom. We have a district that is amazing, and we can ask them the questions, they can point us to people who can give us advice and direction. All right, we can also be a healthier church financially by getting out of debt. But let me give you scripture. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. And Deuteronomy 28:12, says, the Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. That means God wants to abundantly bless you so much you don't need to borrow, but you have extra that you can lend. Now that's what he wants for us, and I believe that's something we can plan and aim for. So I understand that if you buy a home, you're going to have a mortgage. There's things like that, but the general principle is try not to get in debt. I remember there was a season a number of years back where people felt they could get rich by borrowing the maximum amount on everything so it could create this engine of income. And the problem was, as soon as there was a little glitch, they lost everything. The interest rate jumped a little too much and everything comes down like a stack of dominoes. So be cautious of debt. Here's a story from 2 Kings about debt and how it affected a family. Let's just read it. It says, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. And Elisha said, what can I do to help you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it's filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. Okay, this is a story about debt. This is a story about God's desire to get you out of debt and even provide miracles to make it happen. There's a couple things about this story that I love. First of all, Elisha came to her and said, what do you already have? I think this is key for when God does miracles. He uses what he's already given you. He uses the abilities he's already given you. He uses what you already have. Too many times people are like, well, I'm never going to get out of debt, or I can never succeed because of what I don't have. And all they can ever think is, well, if I just had what she had or he had, then I would be so successful. That's not how God works. He looks at you and he says, what do you have right now? What do you possess right now? Maybe it's a wisdom thing. Maybe it's a gifting. Maybe it actually is an actual possession. And then God said the second part. So the first thing, you're in a situation right now, I'm going to ask you, what do you have? Are you healthy? Can you work some more hours? You know, what do you have? The second thing, he gave her some direction. Go and get jars from all the neighbors around and bring them to your house. This is so key. When I read this story, you know, the first time many years ago, but whenever I read it, I'm like, can you imagine if she had no faith, if she was one of those doubters, go and borrow jars from the neighbor. Yeah, sons, I don't think this is going to work. Just go get a couple jars from Sue over there. Bring them back. Yeah, we got two jars. Beep, beep. I'd be like, yeah, go sell those jars and I guess he can take one of your kids. Like, faith matters. Do you believe he wants to bless you abundantly, and do you prepare for it? You see, faith prepares for what God wants to bring before it shows up. This is a key thing of faith, you guys. What has God spoken to you? Are you preparing for it before it shows up? Because faith takes action, and action prepares ahead of time. She didn't wait for the oil to be running and then go run and find jars. That's not how miracles work. That's not how faith works. That's not how God works. He says, what do you have? Here's what I want you to do, and then you start preparing. If God has told you that you're going to be a doctor one day, you can't sit at home on the couch and play video games till you're 30 and think you're going to be a doctor. You're going to have to go to college. You're going to prepare. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to be smart. Sometimes as Christians, that's how we think it works. Oh, God gave a word, so I'm just going to sit here and wait till it happens. It will never happen because his word requires some faith, some action on your part. So what has he said to you? What has he called you to? You know, God amazes me how he blesses people. There's many blessed people in our church. People that God has given work when they had no work. People who have businesses. People moving forward. You know, I believe God has something amazing in store for so many. I was praying for a business this past week. Someone had started a new business. I was praying, and you know, God dropped in my spirit. And he said, within 10 years, that was just a number that came, but within about 10 years, this person will be the wealthiest businessman you know. But I did say, what? God, you can do anything. And you know what God put on my heart as I'm preaching this? You know why that person will see that? They trust God, and they are not afraid to get as many cups and bins and pots as necessary. They are not lazy, and they believe if God said it, I'll prepare. You see, it's a heart thing. It's a faith thing. And I can't wait to see that happen. I want that to happen for all of you. I want God to take you places you couldn't imagine because you realize I can step forward. I can prepare. Well, God wants to take our church forward as well. He may ask us to take steps of faith. He may ask us to prepare before we even see it. And you know what? As a church, I am willing to lead you forward in the direction God speaks for me to lead you forward. But I'm not going to lead you in random directions because it's fun. So get ready. God's speaking already. You know, God is growing the church. It's a season of harvest. Even now, new people coming, salvations. It is a season of harvest. Saturday is growing. Sunday, some mornings, well, it's hard to find chairs when all the kids are in here. So God, what's next? Anyhow, we have to pray and listen. What's next? What does he have in store? So you can be in prayer for that too. Because I sense in my spirit as the weeks go here, you are not going to be able to find a seat Sunday morning. Some of you are going to switch to Saturday, but then what? So pray. Let the Lord begin to, by his spirit, speak. Because I tell you, when he says it, we're going to believe. We're going to step out. I don't know if you know this, but when I understand God has given a direction, I'm actually not a guy who jumps at things. If you've been here a while, maybe you figured that out. But when I am certain, after prayer and knowing and understanding this is God's direction, I move forward and nothing can stop. Because you can't lead if you can't follow him. Scripture says the blind can't lead the blind. So your pastors need to have clear vision where we're leading. So anyhow, I'm throwing that out. Pray God gives clear vision as we move forward. Because we're moving forward whether we like it or not. Because God is moving. We can make healthier churches financially by being a generous church. Okay, so we talk about this for individuals, but we have to do this as a church as well. We can't be telling, you know, you guys should be generous, and then we act stingy as a church. Okay, we have to be generous. And our church supports missions, and we'll have a weekend where we talk about the missions we support. But we also want to be generous in our community. If we're only generous to missions on the other side of the ocean and are stingy with our community, well, that speaks loud to our community, and I don't believe it's right. We need to be generous in our community. Is there a need we can help? Is there something we can reach into? But we make healthy churches by being generous. Acts 4, verse 34. It says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. I'm not even going to go into this today, just to say this, from the very early roots of the church, the very beginning, they were generous. A church to be healthy financially must be generous. We're saying as a church, as a leadership team, are we generous? We definitely want to be. Proverbs 11:24, one gives freely yet grows richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. That's a principle for individuals and organizations. It's a scriptural principle. Are we watering? Are we being generous? Are we reaching into our community? If we do, it will come pouring back in. We can make healthier churches financially by making opportunities for people to give. Scripturally, opportunities were made that caused people to be blessed. Okay? So let me just give you a couple. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember, the farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Paul was making an opportunity for people to give so that they could bring it to Jerusalem, where there was poverty and a very big need. He made an opportunity. Making opportunities is important. As a church, from time to time, we need to say, there's an opportunity. We had an opportunity a while back where we said, hey, if you want to give to the women's shelter, we're making an opportunity, and there was an area you could do. And I do want to say they were extremely blessed by everything that you guys brought. They were so, so thankful. All right, so Paul made that opportunity. There's another story that I want you to read with me in 2 Kings 12, verse 9. Now, before we read it, let me explain that there is a young king named Joash, and he directs the priests to repair the temple. And he says, look, the temple hasn't been repaired for a long time. You guys need to receive finances for that. And there was offering finance that was always given, and they were supposed to take part of that and any special gifts and repair the temple. And at first, you know what happened? They didn't. They didn't repair it. So the king comes a few years later, you guys didn't fix nothing. What's going on? It's falling apart. He says, you need to look after it. And so the priest, Jehoiada, the priest, bores a hole in the lid of a large chest, and he set it on the right-hand side of the altar at the temple entrance. The doorkeepers put all the people's contributions into it. Whenever the chest became full, the king's financial secretary and the high priest counted it and put it into bags. Look at that. Way back then, two people counted the offering. Accountability matters. And he gave it to the construction superintendents to pay the carpenters, the stonemasons, the quarrymen, the timber dealers, the stone merchants, and to buy the other materials needed to repair the temple of the Lord. He made opportunity so that they could look after what needed to be looked after. A healthy church doesn't let their building fall to shambles. A healthy church looks after, maintains, and even adds on or builds better. We make it better. So even in that day and time, there was a need, they looked after it, and that's exactly what happened. They gave that money to the workers, and the temple was brought back to where it should be. The original temple was made by people bringing offerings, by people bringing in to build that original temple. So, hey, God says a healthy church, they make opportunities for things that matter, and the building is one that matters. Again, breathe easy. This is not a bad thing. I want you to learn today. I want you to understand these are scriptural principles, and they're there for a reason. All right, this is the last point now. A church, or we can make healthier churches financially by making sure we love God and not money. Okay? This is one of the most important topics. When you start talking about money, money is a tool, but if you forget that and begin to chase it, whether that's individual or church, you get in a lot of trouble. But let me give you one verse, 1 Timothy 6:9. People who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. You see, a church must never let money take over the main mission, which is to help people find and follow Jesus. You see, going after money for whatever purpose, it can easily become your focus to the point you forget what you're supposed to do. And when that happens to a church, God has ways of helping straighten that out. And you don't want to go there. There are churches that have got so overwhelmed with money and they end up falling into huge problems down the road. Okay? Not what we're here for. Money is simply a tool to get the mission done. Do you understand that? For you, I want you to individually understand this. Your goal in life is not to make lots of money. God wants to bless you and overwhelm you, but if you suddenly change your focus to, I just need to make more money, you're missing the point of your life. Your life is here, first of all, to do kingdom purpose. So maybe he's bringing you money that you can help do kingdom purpose. But you also, if you are a husband, your role is to be a husband. If you're a father, your role is to be a father. And you know what? God also wants you to enjoy this life with him. If you're no longer enjoying life, but you have lots of money, you need to scale back somehow. You need to find a way to make sure that you're enjoying life again. Because I'll tell you, the pursuit of money only will destroy you. It will destroy you. Do you know how many news stories you can read about wealthy people who have given up and taken their own lives? Because money doesn't answer the question of why am I here? Money does not answer the question of where am I going? Money can't save you. Money cannot heal you. Money cannot fix your relationships. Money cannot fix what's going on inside. There's only one person who can do that, and his name is Jesus. And we need to never, ever forget it. You know, as we're here this morning, we've talked a lot about money, but I want you to know my main heart and focus and mission is to make sure that people really know Jesus. To make sure that people have the opportunity to accept him as their Savior, to live for him. And so we make opportunity at our church for that very thing. If you came today and you have never asked Christ to forgive you and come into your life, if I asked you, are you following Jesus? Are you a Christian and you don't know? Then I have good news. We're going to help you know today. Because it's simple. It's easy. It's just a matter of believing in your heart and speaking it with your mouth. And if you believe that Jesus paid that price for you on a cross to take every sin, and you believe that he did that and rose again from the grave, and you speak it with your mouth, you will be saved. So today we're going to say a little prayer that you can repeat after that just lets you use words for what you're feeling in here. So if you'll do that with me right now, just bow your heads and let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and rose again. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Use my life. I thank you. I am saved.